Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We are so blessed that you're able to join us today, as I have on the line my good friend, Tom Donnan. Tom has been with us on our program several times. He always brings such interesting insights and news headlines and things that aren't on the news, things that aren't being talked about on the news, but yet they deal with what the Bible calls the last days, the days and time in which we live right now. We're in that little sliver of time between there it is and here he comes. Amen. And that's where we're at right now. And Tom's going to be talking about some things today. Help me welcome to the program, Tom Donnan. Tom, well, oh man, it's so good to talk to you again. It's been several months since we talked.
Oh, we always have a good time when we have a conversation. And that's why it's like two birds of a feather, as they say. You know? And we get each other stirred up and get excited about the things, especially, you know, the second coming, because the signs keep on pointing towards it. It's getting closer all the time.
Amen. Every single day, every single hour, every single minute. Glory to God. And, I mean, we're just talking off the air. We start getting, no, we got to stop. We got to do this as a recording.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, Tom, for those that haven't caught up with your prior interviews with us, first of all, shame on them. But, just start off with, tell us, who is Tom Donnan?
Well, I appreciate you having me on the program, and it's always a blessing. So thank you for that. And the thing is, I like to minister as God leads and guides. I enjoy dreams, visions, visitations, and that helps me to be able to move forward in how God is directing my life. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans for you, and I get to see that on a regular basis. And so there's a lot of profit in following the Lord, spiritual profit, and I enjoy that. And so being an author has opened up some doors for me to be able to minister, and it's been wonderful. And that I have 5 books now, and the first four are aimed towards helping people come closer to the Lord. This last book that I have written is got 2 themes to it, and one is that an evangelistic theme by which there was revival that hit this town in 1964, and there was a knock on the door. It was a Baptist pastor, and the next thing you know, these people are praying for salvation, and then we get to see how God intervened in their lives in different ways and brought them into the supernatural. And I'm very encouraged about this because, one, I want to encourage Christians to become more seeking God for the manifestations, because they're there for us to experience, as well as showing how salvation works and then what the transformation of our lives. You know, it's so when I look back at my own life, I'm thinking, wow, how did you do this, Lord? Change me from what I was to what I am. It's amazing. Amen.
Amen. I sometimes I ask God the same thing. Why did you choose me when you knew how I was, you know? And he's, his response always, my job is to clean people up and use them for the kingdom of God.
And, amen.
And he has in my life, and obviously yours as well. What's the name of your new book?
It is called One Door Between Us. It is about 3 lady pastors that I met a couple of years ago, and when I started getting involved in hearing their stories, I thought, I can't believe how good this stuff is. And so the first book is about the senior pastor and how life entered her family. And now that it's in print, pretty soon I'm going to start on the second lady pastor. And you know what? We got all kinds of books out there. But when you got a true story, people tend to gravitate more towards stories that have people behind them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And because they can relate, even if it's, if you wrote a book on someone who climbed Mount Everest and met God, people who are interested in Mount Everest and in mountain climbing, they're going to read it because it's a factual story, and and it still has the spiritual relevance. So absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to do an interview just on your book. We're going to have to get you back on and just talk about your book and how you met these people and all the details on that. But today, in the amount of time we have left, I want to talk about some recent things that you shared and that I've read online and watched online through YouTube, etc., that discusses the day and hour in which we live. And the first one I want to ask you about is a report of recent, what lack of a better term, large wave activity, like in Russia and different places like that. It's not just in that coastal region of Russia, but it's actually all across the world. The map is just show these huge between 30 and 50 foot waves happening all around the world. Have you seen that?
That is so bizarre. So yes, the answer is yes. And the thing is the world is doing some unusual things. And how I usually break into this kind of conversation is that being 66 years old, I was always a kid that liked to listen to the adults as they were talking. So I can remember my parents talking, I can remember my grandparents talking, and I don't ever remember some of the bizarre things that the world is doing ever coming up in the conversation. Yeah, you know, so when you get these weird things, then you start thinking about the relevance to the end time scenario. And that's what really catches my eye as I'm going through these different YouTubes and articles to see what really helps support that things are not as they have been in the past. So these waves are pretty phenomenal. And the first one that I caught that was having this happen was up in Russia, where the waves were pounding their shoreline. You know, and that's off of the coast of Alaska, where the Aleutian Islands, you know, that area of Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't for just a short period of time. I think it was for several days that they were experiencing this. So then I started to notice that there was other areas, too. And one of them that caught me close to home is that I like to go down to Fort Myers Beach. I have friends that bless me with spending some time in their condo down on the beach. And so I had seen Sanibel Island had 3 weeks ago had huge waves come up on the north shore of the island and flooded a resort almost a foot deep in water.
Wow.
And it was without warning. You know, there was no high wave warnings, you know, and I've been down there a number of times. And for a big wave to come is very unusual. And so they were scrambling to try to figure out how to get the renters, the vacationers that were in those cottages that were right on the beach, into a new area of renting. Because now these cabins are waterlogged. They are going to have to really work on getting them restored. So that was a pretty interesting fact. So, yeah, some weird things are happening with the waves around the world.
Mm. And they have the tsunami warning systems and stuff like that in place. You'd think that those things would go off, right? These large waves. I mean, that's the definition of a tsunami, is a large wave.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, when I was watching it on the computer, I was thinking, man, it sure does look like a tsunami, the way that it was just pushing up onto the ground, you know. But you're talking about the tsunami wave detection, which makes me think about over there in Indonesia with Krakatoa and how they just had that volcano explode and half of the island disappeared, and the volcano disappeared, causing that 15-foot tsunami that hit the islands that were, or the land that was close by there. More than 400 people died in that tsunami, but they have a tsunami detection system, and that was installed 6 years ago because of that bad one that was there in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't working. So that's the tragedy of that, is that there was no warning that it was coming. Of course, they were pretty close to the volcano. They have to be hit by the tsunami wave, but yet there was something there that was supposed to help, and sadly it wasn't working, which is a tragedy.
Mm. So, but like down in Florida, they got these things as well, right?
I don't know that they have those down there, because I'll tell you what, normally we don't have tsunami waves in that area, although there was concerns years ago when they had the Haiti earthquake, you know, that there might be a generated tsunami. So that fault line that runs through the Gulf of Mexico there certainly could generate one. But I'll tell you off the top of my head, I can't remember if there are warning systems that are in that area.
Yeah, amen. No, I was doing some research on the ones with the Indonesian, early warning system, and the government said the reason they weren't working is because they didn't have the funds to maintain them and keep them running. I mean, that to me seems like what's the word I'm looking for? Criminal neglect, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. You're talking people's lives.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of like the NORAD saying, government shut down, so we're just going to shut down all our radars right now, and then we get hit by missiles from North Korea or something. Because, we couldn't afford to keep it running. that's the same thing to me, It's ridiculous,
Yes, it is.
Golly. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some science stuff that went on. Did you see the huge leaps in DNA technology?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Sometimes I tell people that I'm a slow learner, okay? And I absorb all of this, all these facts and things, right? And so, and it's like it rolls around in my head. Or let's say they're like pieces that are floating up into the air. And all of a sudden, they start dropping into places, and then I get this image. And when we're talking about the DNA changing, because that's what China has just had articles on, is that they took a human baby and they extracted, I think, 3 gene sequences to prevent this baby from getting HIV. And you see a picture of the baby, okay? And so I thought to myself, oh, no, now we're acting like God by changing the DNA. And then that brings up, biblical stories. Look what happened at the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And that was way back when. And so you think to yourself, okay, God changed their language because he said that whatever they put their mind to, that they can achieve. Oh, this is like off the scale now, and we're no longer toying with things. We're acting like gods when we're doing this. And, of course, there was an uproar over the fact that they had done this, but yet still it didn't hold them back from moving forward and doing this. And so, if there's cause and effect, and, of course, the thing that is that might happen with this baby is undetermined yet. And so, but it's scary to think that this is happening.
Yeah. Well, some scientists say that they don't believe it really happened because there was no documented evidence, like in scientific journals, this is what we did, this is how we did it. And, to allow it, a true scientific experiment, you have it documented in such a way so that others can replicate the experiment and see if the results are the same. And they said there's no information for them to be able to do that. So they're thinking that maybe it's just a publicity stunt.
Well, that would be erring on the good side, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because when we're moving down the timeline, I was bringing up a scripture earlier in Mark 13, where it talks about the end times, and this would just be another evidence of how far we had come, because it's amazing the things that human beings are doing now. And of course, Daniel, it talks about closing up the book until the end of times, and when knowledge increases, and so knowledge is increasing so fast now, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you talk about knowledge increasing and our ability to see deeper and deeper and deeper into space, I mean, so that, we can look back to the beginning of time now, really. So there's nothing beyond the edge that you can see, is what you're trying to say, what about the huge leaps forward in space science? How do you think that's going to help us?
Well, I don't know about the help. Let's see. Let me get my first thought here, and that is connected to the designer baby scenario we were talking about earlier. And I was watching the article on NOVA. Anybody who's got like a on-demand TV where you can go back and you can watch the programs, NOVA just did something on the I can't remember the satellite that was out there. I can't remember the name. But it just passed Pluto, and then it went past Pluto, and then went to some kind of rock that was beyond our universe to be able to see it. And as I'm watching this, I'm seeing the pictures, because the thing is that this happened like 3 years ago, but because it only has 12 watts of power to be able to transmit the information, that it took several years for the information to be transferred back to Earth to where they could convert it into images, and that just took place on New Year's Eve, where they saw the images of Pluto, and they saw the images of the rock that was beyond, which is absolutely amazing. And as I'm watching this, it almost like I fell into a stupor. I couldn't believe it, because here you have mankind that takes a man-made object, hurdles it into space. It goes, you know, billions of miles out there for a close flyby of Pluto with unbelievable pictures, and then goes on to see a rock that they had discovered. They thought, okay, we're beyond Pluto. What can we do with this thing now? And then they discovered this rock that was in an orbit further out. So they manipulated this satellite to be able to go and find it out there in space. And I thought to myself, oh man, we are like gods. Yeah. You know, and that is the scary thing. Not only do we can compare ourselves to being like gods, now with the designer babies, we are getting to the point where some of them are thinking we are gods. Yeah, this is really risky stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And God don't take too kindly to try to, you know, have mankind replace them.
Well, that is true.
You know, speaking of you know, the planets and all that stuff, did you see that they think they've discovered water on Europa? It's a moon of Jupiter. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did. There was some type of plume that they saw in the pictures, which is pretty amazing to be able to discover these things. You know, I remember having tears in my eyes when I saw the first picture of Earth rise from the moon.
Yeah.
No, we are so far past that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, now they're talking about, oh, we'll send a spacecraft to that moon of Jupiter, Europa, in order to see if there's life there now. Yeah. But my question is, what are you going to do if you land and, you know, some being's like, what do you want? Then what? You know?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, we've discussed before about the Vatican and all that, and, you know, how they're preparing people for the discussion and the exposure of, oh, there is alien life, you know? And, matter of fact, they have a satellite set up in, I think it's New Mexico. And the name of it, get this, and I can't tell you what the acronym, and my tongue's tied up, stands for, but it's spelled out as Lucifer.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you, right? I mean, to be the Vatican, to be a Catholic, and you're going to name your satellite system, you know, your telescopes of Lucifer? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
that tells you
where they're headed.
It's been a subject that I've been aware of that for a number of years, and it's like a subject that I'm too afraid to even go towards, because they have one of the best, if not the best, telescope, Earth-based telescope, and the Vatican is behind it, and it's really a scary scenario.
Yeah, and they keep it top secret. I mean, it's not like, you know, they put stuff out on the internet for you to go look at. It's like, you know, classified information and... You know, I mean, it's, but to name it Lucifer, I mean, to me, that is the, you know, name it, you know, Looney Tunes or something, but Lucifer, you know?
That was a subject that is not on the list, you know, that I had sent for conversation, but it was something that I because it just came up, I didn't have time to include it. And that is the Pope talking about, we need to relinquish our sovereignties as nation. Mm. And I thought to myself, you know, that book series, what was it, Left Behind book
Left
series?
Left Behind, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is getting close.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
right.
To think about having the Pope say a statement like that is, like, really concerning.
Yep. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to get back on and do another one of these just talking about that. I mean, here's a question for you, since we're talking about, you know, the plume and Jupiter and all that good stuff. What about the global warming here on Earth?
Okay.
Science says that, you know, the scientists say it's continuing to get warmer, but yet the weather.com says 2018 was the coldest in 20 years. Which one is it? Which one is right?
Yeah. Yeah, now this would be my personal opinion, because, you know, I've gone over this, and actually it kind of like makes me crazed to think about this, because they talk about the global warming, you know, because in 1883 you had Krakatoa that exploded. That's one volcano, you know, and it plunged the Earth into a mini ice age for 2 years, and a lot of people died because of that, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so when they put the responsibility on man-made technologies and
carbon,
you know, fossil fuels, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, I think it's nothing more, and this could get me in trouble, but nothing more than a ruse, you know, by which to be able to say that there is a concern, because if you got a crisis, then people throw money into it, and then when they do that, you know, it goes to different places. But the what it comes down to is that there's a lot of conversation about the sun going into solar minimum, which then contributes to the Earth cooling, which there is research that shows that the sun is in solar minimum. And so I don't know how long that lasts, but I'm also thinking to myself up here in Chicago, you know, right now it hasn't been really cold, so I like that, you know. But yet there's still snow on the ground, so the warming aspect. I have a son-in-law that works in the farming industry, and he is saying that they have had farmers that do more crops because it has been warmer at higher latitudes. But at the same time, there's other things that, you know, so that goes in the opposite direction. So the thing is that I really don't think that global warming as pertains to the conversation that we're having is real. Now, climate change, we're seeing a lot of different weird things happening. Mm-hmm. That gets people shook. You know, people get stuck in a rut, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's sometimes, you know, I'm glad for the four seasons, unless you're living on the equator, you know, because we have change and we need to be able to change. But sometimes our mindsets prevent us from changing. And if we're not really seeking out stuff, change can help us to look for God. Because we have a hard time with change.
Yep.
And so these changes that are happening to me, I'm thinking, why are people not more concerned about the things that they are seeing? Because these are like first-time things that we are experiencing.
Yeah, amen. And when you're talking about global warming, you know, I think about, you know, you said people make a bunch of money off it. I'm thinking about Al Gore, you know. I mean, he you know, started this bandwagon, and he's made, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and anytime he goes to give a speech, he charges, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and flies there in his private jet, burning up carbon fuel, you know, contributing to global warming. But, you know, he doesn't want you to fly a commercial, you know.
So, yeah.
He don't even want you to drive, just take a bus, you know, type
yeah
of thing. But yes, carbon emissions do contribute to all that. Matter of fact, you know, they're talking about the ozone, you know, hole in the ozone layer and all that. But did you see the report that ozone layer is closing now?
Yeah, I did see that.
What they previously thought.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
saw
that.
Hey, it's cured. Let's start burning oil again, you know?
Oh, man. Yes. It's funny, you know, how these things are shaping up. Now, the other thought in this slow learning curve that I have is that, you know, people are looking into the future, let's say 100 years, because there seems to be this kind of push for colonization on Mars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, well, why are they so concerned? You know, and when you look at the changes that are happening in the world, you know, they get formulated, because it does say that this in the scriptures that the moon, that's the scripture that I brought up. I can quote it. It's in Mark 13:24, you know, towards the end of days, where Jesus is talking to the disciples. It said that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its life, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we are getting close to seeing some of these things happening, and it contributes to the end of time. But if you're not tuned into Scripture and the seasons that we're in, people could think, well, this is going to go for millennia. I don't think it's going to go for millennia because Jesus said he's going to come back. And the way things are looking, it sure does look like it's not going to be that far off.
Yeah, amen. I mean, you talk about trying to go and colonize Mars and all that. SpaceX is now competing against NASA. You know, technically they're working together, but you know, NASA is struggling for government funding, and SpaceX is like, "Hey, we'll sell it to you." You know, they're in it for the profit. But I mean, they already sent astronauts, you know, their own astronauts, right to the very edge of space on a suborbital mission. And, you know, they've sold seats for commercial, you know, the first commercial flight going up to, you know, take, you know, if, I mean, if you got a couple $100,000 you can just throw away, you can get a suborbital flight, go up to space yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're supposedly in the process of making plans to send someone to the moon, or not moon, Mars. So, I mean, you know, it's, things have changed since the 1960s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then you're talking Sputnik there. I remember sitting out on the porch, you know, and as a kid, watching it go by, because they would tell you what time it was going over. You know, we thought that was just the biggest thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. That's right. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with Tom Donnan. Tom is a great friend of this ministry. He has such a unique perspective on things that are happening. Things are being reported on sometimes by websites and news articles that most people don't have access to, and the mainstream media just refuses to cover. Or if they do, they just gloss over it. Folks, Tom has this unique perspective. When he sees something, he can immediately interpret it into biblical prophecy and the coming of the Lord Jesus, his second coming, and the end days scenario. And that's why he comes on and shares these things with us. Now, you need to come back tomorrow to catch the rest of this interview. We'll be concluding this portion of our interview with Tom Donnan tomorrow. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.